This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
Time will tell, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, March 25th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart for the next 4 hours, but we're together. The other 20, well, that is your responsibility. Hope you're all doing well. It's a beautiful day, although my personal weather person, Jody Applegate, tells me it's going to get really cold again next week, and opening day Yankee Stadium should be a joy in the 30s. But we'll take it.
Is that a real thing, or that's her prediction?
No. She follows long-term forecasts and stuff like that.
It stinks.
I'm sorry. And then you have an open pool that's going to become an ice skating rink.
Well, for Don, that actually has some upside.
That does have some upside. I got to get the kids on skates. This is ridiculous. Yager was skating by two. Now they're almost three and a half. This is ridiculous. Now, you know, now Yager Gretzky's out the window.
So you're already down. You're already down. What level are you already down to here?
I think that this is like third line center territory. If I don't get him skating by five, the only hope I can have is just that Marco's a goon, and from what you tell us about
Jalen
might be able to, you know, maybe skate for Team Italy,
right.
in the Winter Olympics.
Wow, I think that Rick DiPietro's son Milo started skating almost at one.
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because what do they say?
You missed it, Don.
Like whenever, like I'll bring up, like Michael likes to say, and he's not wrong. Like the toughest thing in the world to do is hit a baseball. But like, and I would look at these hockey players are doing, and they're doing it on skates. And the answer always is, well, come on, those guys are skating out of the womb. That doesn't count. Well, if that's the case, then they're way behind. But I got a rink not far. But I'm not comfortable yet with the whole pandemic stuff. But it's a shame, because if I got them skating, that's my retirement.
Well, that is the way, though. The only way that you can play hockey that well is if the skating is absolutely just nature.
Right.
Right. The trade deadline is over in the NBA. Doesn't mean that we won't get some announcements, because all you have to do is get the paperwork into the league office by 3 o'clock, and then you can announce it a little bit later. But we haven't heard anything. The Knicks didn't really do anything. They got rid of Austin Rivers, who had become a non-person. He wasn't even showing up at games. And Brad Zekas, the guy they picked in the second round a couple of years ago, and they got back a former number one draft pick. But it's just a filler. That what they essentially did was they opened up a roster spot. And that allows them to be in play if people start to get released. So they could bring somebody in and not have to cut somebody. So they have an open roster spot. We'll see. Now, the big question is, did they miss the boat not making a trade? Now, I was all for them making a big deal. You've heard me say it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for them to get a big-time scorer like a Bradley Beal. I would have loved for them to get Lonzo Ball, but he's not being traded, which I quite understand. But I didn't want them to empty the cupboard and give up any assets that would hurt. And they didn't. And I don't have a problem with it. Because no matter what the Knicks did right now, no matter what trade, the biggest trade you could possibly think of. So dream your dream right now and say they got a great player. They're still not winning a championship. They're probably not winning in the first round. So what you continue to do is build with what you have. And I think that this team has shown it plays hard against good teams. It blows out bad teams like it did against Washington. And it can be a 500 team without any moves whatsoever. So the two people they traded today had no impact at all on this part of the season, other than the one game when Austin Rivers was 10 for 10 from the field. And then it all went away. It seemed like Tibbs just lost complete faith in him. And then there were personal issues and he stayed away from the team. But anyway, he ends up back with his dad in Philly, and Brad Zekas was a G League player. So they didn't upset anything. All of the chemistry that they built Nothing. I have no problem with them not doing anything. They still have their first-round draft picks. They open a spot on the roster. They could be players because they have $15 million under the cap, so they could bring somebody in. They're in good shape. They weren't going to make themselves a championship contender. So what they did was they didn't hurt this team, and this team could easily be a 36-36 team when the season is over.
I think we get caught up, and this is all sports, you know, whether it's do the Jets trade Sam, the Giants seed enough of Jones, should the Rangers make the playoffs, Knicks make the playoffs. It really doesn't matter what we think. It's what the team thinks, right? And maybe the Knicks are content to just continue going about their business. Making the playoffs, that would be great, but not this whole, well, we haven't been to the playoffs in almost a decade. We've got to make the playoffs. We've got to make a trade. We've got to justify what we're doing here. Maybe they're very content with what they have, not disrupting the rebuild. If you make the playoffs, great, but we're not going to take any chances messing up what we have here by making a trade for the sole reason of pacifying the fans and the media making the playoffs. And I think they look at this roster with the expanded playoffs now with the play-ins. They're probably going to make that anyway. And maybe they feel like that's fine because it's about the long haul here. It's not about immediate. And if that's how they feel, Michael, then why make a deal unless it's going to make you better in the future?
And I really believe that without making a move, they could still make the playoffs. And I think they see that they can make the playoffs too without making a move. So why give up assets to incrementally get better? I would have been all for making a big move, like getting Bradley Beal, as I mentioned. Then you have to give up some assets. That I understand. But that stuff could be done during the offseason. Maybe they get lucky in the draft. We have no idea. There are things they could do. I think they're operating in a proper way for the first time in many, many years. They're not getting ahead of themselves. They're not getting giddy on their small amount of success. The reason they're having this success is because of the coach they have, and the coach they have is going to be there for a long time, hopefully. So you keep giving them better talent. He'll make them play better, play harder, play longer, and they will win. Because this team is not that much different than last year's team, and they've already won one more game than they did all of last year. I applaud the Knicks. The Nets weren't going to do anything anyway, and the Nets still could bring in, you know, a Drummond or something like that if he's released. But the trade deadline was now, and neither team did anything of substance. The Nets didn't do anything at all. The Knicks made that small three-way trade with the Sixers and Oklahoma City. So that's where we are. That's where we stand right now. And I don't think any of us have a kick coming. The Knicks have given us more than we could have hoped for. You got to be happy for what they gave. Would you have liked to see a deal? Yeah, but the fact they didn't do it, I trust this front office. I really do. I don't think they're clowns. I don't think they're reactionary. I think they have a plan in place, and they're going to follow that plan to the T. They're not being rushed. They're not being pushed, and I think it's good. So, Knick fans, we want to hear from you. Are you disappointed? Are you happy they stood pat? 1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-3776. Don, I had promised I wasn't going to complain about health. I hurt my neck today.
Oh, no.
I can't move to my left side. I am in such extraordinary pain right now that I have a heating pad that I'm going to put on during the break.
What happened?
Nothing. That it's like the old Ray Romano line. I pulled a hamstring sleeping. So I slept for a long time. I was very tired yesterday. So I think the whole family went to bed at 10. And I didn't get up today until 10. And I guess my body didn't like laying down that long. I got up, and all of a sudden, I didn't even twist quickly. My neck gave out. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get through 4 hours, but I will.
Of course you will.
Well, listen, Zoolander was able to have a whole career as a model without having to turn to his left.
Yeah,
I think my modeling days are over, Don.
Well, but here's the great thing about radio. How much movement do you really need? All right, the microphone's not going to be swinging like a pendulum. Just sit there. Take some Advil. We'll get through this together.
We can do it.
But
yeah,
you're
but
right.
I got to be careful about what I take. Because my next shot, my final shot, is Saturday. And you can't take anything that's close to an aspirin. They say you can't take, they don't tell you why, but you just can't take aspirin.
Really?
Maybe you'll bleed all over yourself. I have no idea. Can't take an aspirin. You can take a Tylenol, but you can't take an aspirin. I don't know if you can take an Advil.
I did not hear that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do not take an aspirin after you get that shot, and even before. Rockets sending Oladipo to Miami.
Oh, wow.
You don't sleep on Pat Riley. They made the finals last year. He wants to go a little bit further this year.
That's a sneaky good team, right? We don't consider them. It's all Milwaukee, the Nets, the Sixers. Don't sleep on Miami.
I mean, how can you at this point? They are like, it's every year with them.
He's so good. Of all the things, and Woj is reporting the Raptors are keeping Kyle Lowry. Of all the things that have gone wrong for the Knicks in the past, letting Riley leave, that was gigantic. I mean, he could have been a god here. He could still be here. Could have coached and then became a GM, but he wanted more power. Checkets didn't want him to have more power. Checkets pretty much said no, and then Riley kind of broke a contract, just faxed his resignation.
Right.
He didn't leave in the best way, but letting Pat Riley leave was really bad. But, I mean, they survived for a while with what he built with Jeff, but still, Riley, that was a huge loss.
But in defense of the Knicks, when you look at the history, how often do you see great coaches also become great executives? You saw the disaster Phil Jackson was. I mean, this guy's, I think he's gone against the grain in any sport, Michael, where a head coach wants to do both. You know, we see it in football a little bit, but now I think that ship sailed because it's just too much work to have somebody do both. Bill Parcells was not a great executive after his head coaching career was over. Bird, how would you rate Bird?
Bird was pretty good.
Bird might be, I mean, I'm biased, but Bird he was fantastic. He just didn't do it over years and years like Pat Riley.
Yeah, Peter, you smell it? Peter, do you smell it? Do you smell what's cooking here?
The Rock?
I think you do. No. I think we're getting a top five of great players who became GMs at some point.
Oh.
I didn't think about it. I never got to use my list that we didn't use for the game yesterday.
It's evergreen. It's evergreen, isn't
it? It is evergreen. You let me know when you're ready for it.
Okay.
It's there. It's written down. It's not going. It's in my notebook.
The Athletic reporting the Mavericks are close to getting J.J. Redick from the Pelicans. Redick had wanted to be traded to the Knicks or the Nets because he lives in Brooklyn full time. He's a real hipster. Instead, he's going to Dallas.
Well, that's not close to Brooklyn at all.
No.
And I wouldn't say the experiences are similar either.
Especially when it's cold there with ice. The city stops. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's take some phone calls. What do you think?
Love it.
Why not?
Let's go to Mel in Jersey City. Mel.
Hello?
Hello.
Am I on?
Yeah. I don't know how many more.
No, he's not anymore.
Hello, Mel.
He's not anymore.
Oh, that's
not it's not how you want to start things on.
No, you know what? Fault.
I'm not going to be heel K, but in pain K is not pleasant.
No, Michael, you don't need to be heel K. You just need to be real K.
I'm being real right now. That annoys me. You called into a show and you go, "Hi, Dennis from Queens." Hello? Oh? Am I on? No. You didn't just call Kroger's, okay? You called the radio show. You got put on hold. The next sound you hear is going to be the host.
Kroger's.
Some supermarket.
Who's talking now?
Right.
Let's go to Lenny and Wyckoff. Lenny.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, hello, Lenny.
Okay, great job yesterday. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm a longtime Knicks fan, and sometimes they say the best move is no move. I think they got a little chemistry going now. You know, they're exciting to watch. They're playing hard, like Michael said. He could definitely be coach of the year. He's doing an excellent job. Let it play out. You know, evaluate the team at the end of the year. Let's see how far this ride goes. I think they were smart by not jumping in and making a trade. Why give away something that might not help you right now? Like I said, let it play out. I enjoy watching them.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I think they realize they're better than the bad teams. They'll fight the really good teams. They're right there in the middle. They're not good yet. I mean, they're okay. They're average, which is amazing, the jump from last year and previous years. The Knicks' average is something to actually have a parade in the Canyon of Heroes.
But because I'm going through it with the Rangers, Michael, when you commit to a rebuild, you probably have in your mind how long it's going to take. You don't want to admit how long because you don't want to be held to that standard in case you end up coming up short, right? And if you feel like this year's gravy, you just wanted to get better, then why are you going to put all your eggs in one basket and try to make the playoffs? Yeah, the fans want that, but the fans don't think about the long-haul rebuild. And again, it's only going to be a couple of years. I think both Garden teams, everything's going to change next year. Everything is going to change next year. Nobody is going to tolerate average next year. But this year, if you're still on pace within that management room, then why be swayed? Especially if something might sacrifice the future.
And I will tell you, Don, with the Knicks, they stayed pat because they think they're going to make the playoffs with this team, and they probably will. Either the playoffs or the play-in, which would be a great jump for them. Now, if they felt they needed another piece just to get into the – I think they would have done it because I think job one this year changed the culture, changed the way people look at the Knicks and get into the playoffs. That's why Obi Toppin doesn't play because they're not more about developing than winning. They're more about winning and then develop as you can. Otherwise, Obi Toppin would have been in a game a lot more than 8 minutes in a game the Knicks won by about 30.
Well, you did the math earlier that if they win all the games they're supposed to win, they'll go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So do you have to make a trade to solidify having to beat teams that you're supposed to beat as presently constituted? No. You make a deal when you have to improve because you don't think you've got enough. I think they have enough.
Now, Ian Begley reporting the Knicks are done for the day, according to a source. No active deal. So although 3 o'clock is the deadline, as I mentioned, something could be announced afterward, but that's not the case.
So they're 4 games away from dropping completely out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But Toronto is that 11 seed, and they've lost 9 of their last 10. Is Cleveland going to overtake them? Washington going to overtake them? Washington's lost 8 of their last 10. Cleveland, 6 of their last 10. They're making the playoffs. Now, if you feel it's important to be the 6th seed, well, then they probably had to make a deal. Because they're tied with Atlanta. Boston's only a game back. Indiana's only a game and a half back. So if you want to get 6 and avoid having to play in, yeah, then you probably had to make a deal. But if that wasn't the end-all be-all for them, then they're right to do what they did.
Peter, I'm just wondering, any internal within the family, friend level review of the game yesterday?
Oh, this is so exciting.
My parents, as you know, weren't able to see it, so that's it. Ixnay on the family, No, just the upsetting review from Chris Carlin at the end of the show last night.
That was
unsettling.
I got a review.
By?
CC Sabathia.
Really?
Yes.
Was it good?
That I did a great job.
Wow.
So CC was listening.
That was the quote, yes.
Where'd you hear that review?
From Ruco. Ruco texted me and said that he talked to CeCe, and CeCe said that Don did a great job.
Well,
isn't that nice?
Absolutely. But you got to take it with a grain of salt, too, Don.
Why?
Because you think he was taking a shot at Michael?
He just wants anyone in there but the Caster. We know that.
But I wasn't auditioning.
Well, CeCe may change that. Well, CeCe may make a phone call and try to change that into an audition.
No.
What if they say to you, Don, $3 million a year to take Michael's spot?
No.
Oh, I would tell you, you must take it.
Oh, yeah. That would make
I would.
You, no, I'm not. No, you never take a job from somebody that already has the job. Now, if they tell me they're not bringing Michael back and that they're going to hire somebody else, no matter whether I say yes or no, that's a different story. I think Michael would understand that. But somebody coming into me and saying, listen, we're going to give you, if you say yes, $3 million, Michael's gone. If you say no, we're keeping Michael. I'm saying no.
You're nuts. I would sell family members down the road for $3 million.
Now,
are
what
you
if
kidding me?
What if they said this to you, Michael?
Uh-huh.
ESPN says, for $3 million extra a year, we need you to fire Don from the show.
No, that I wouldn't do.
But that's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, Peter.
But I've had my nice run. You haven't had a long enough run.
I'm doing all right. I'm running. I'm not winning, but I'm running.
Oh, you're winning.
A couple of other trades. I love that. CC loved it. Woj reporting Boston trading Daniel. How do you pronounce his name? Thies? I think it's these, to Chicago for Mo Wagner or Wagner. So that's, it is Wagner, right?
Is it?
Yes, it's Wagner, like the composer.
Is that true?
Yeah, Wagner. Although the college in Staten Island is not Wagner College, it's Wagner. So, you know what? It's Houston Street, it's not Houston. I don't care anymore. My neck hurts.
That's a drop. I say Theis because I assume it has to be the only Theis. We only recognize one Theis when it comes to basketball.
That's right.
And that's with a U.
And that's with a U. So I always said Theis.
Tim McMahon reporting the Heat are sending Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk and a 2022 first-round pick to the Rockets for Oladipo. That's a lot to give up for a guy who's on an expiring contract. But I guess they plan to sign him.
Wow, the throwback Celtics trade of the cinch. Avery Bradley and Olynyk?
Mm-hmm.
So funny, man. There are players that you just think of having being a certain kind. I thought Avery Bradley was going to be, I don't know what I thought he was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be sort of a journeyman of Jace.
Now, wait a minute. CeCe likes Peter and didn't send that to Ryan that Peter was doing a good job. I mean, I didn't do play-by-play.
I didn't really. I mean, listen, at best, I was amusing. Don showed chops.
I'll read you the text from Ryan. And actually, I got it yesterday and I was hesitant to say anything.
Why?
Because I thought the same thing Peter thought.
That it was a shot at me? I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
I've got
job security. I'm good. Don't worry.
The text was from Ryan. CeCe loved you on the broadcast. Was the text.
I thought you were great. Now, just to tie things up with the broadcast. I think we're very close to $40,000 raised for Make-A-Wish. Very close. It's like 38 something. Really, really close. And our listeners have been so generous. And off the top of my head, I can't remember the website. But if you think that what you want to give is too small, there's nothing that's too small. If you can afford $5, that's going to get you to 40. And if you can get to 40, then you know what? Then that's four kids that get a wish granted. So here is the website to go to. bit.ly/kspringtraining. bit.ly/kspringtraining. You've been so generous. And just putting it out there, if we can get to 40, that would be unbelievable. I'm sure we'll get to 40 somehow. But if you could do it, that'd be wonderful. And if you if you enjoyed Don yesterday, that's wonderful too. If you thought I was a little staggered yesterday by how cruel and vicious Chris was to my guy Peter.
That was a little off-putting.
Wow.
No, I shouldn't say a little. It was a lot.
It was.
No one backed me up though.
I also thought that Peter. I could tell Peter was really upset because when Peter brings out the weight jokes, he's upset.
Yeah, I don't want to bring up the weight jokes. I don't want to.
But you felt
there.
you were in a corner.
We both had your back.
Jace.
Well, most of it, I thought I was waiting for Chris to say he's just kidding.
No, he was real.
Well, no, I know that now, but at the time, because Chris usually isn't that mean-spirited. He's definitely, at least among friends, if you're not going to say something nice, don't say something at all. He's not like that in a talk show. He's very honest, but in that particular moment, I thought it came across as hurtful.
Sad. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. A lot of people want to talk about the Knicks not doing anything significant, and then I don't think anybody expected the Nets to do anything different, because if they can't win with that big three, then, who are they going to get next? Kawhi Leonard? Get LeBron? Make it a big four? No, that wasn't going to happen. So the Knicks are the discussion, but you talk about anything. You know the number, 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. I don't care anymore. My neck hurts.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Whose birthday is it today, Don? Do you know?
Hmm.
That's a lot of people's birthday, but I'll tell you.
Okay.
Lee Mazzilli.
Oh, Maz.
Now, how old do you think Maz is?
I would say he's 64.
So close, 66. Now, I'm going to make a statement that will be debated for years. There have been a lot of people in baseball, in sports, that have had a lot of fun. But if you took a look at young Mazo when he was drafted by the Mets and a kid from Brooklyn, this was before Twitter, before social media. I think Lee Mazzilli had more fun than anybody since that time. Lee Mazzilli packed so much fun into his career. And then he married a lovely woman, have great children. But before he got married, I think that Lee Mazzilli had more fun than anybody can humanly have.
Well, you know, being a young Met fan, there wasn't much to root for. But when he came up, there was so much hype. And he obviously didn't live up to that hype. But I remember his home run in the King Dome in the All-Star game.
Tell me against two.
I remember it was 78. Who would it have been against? I don't know.
Jim Kern.
Ah.
Opposite field, right down the left field line.
And then the other thing, too, Michael, what I remember him for most is his comeback to the Mets.
Yep.
You know, the Mets let go of George Foster, and they brought him in. He was a utility guy, fourth outfielder. And for him to be a part of 86 was just really special for a Met fan that remembered him when he first came up. So that was a real turning point in that season. I mean, listen, they went on to win 108 games or whatever, but he contributed, and that was a nice move because people forget that they started 86 with George Foster on their roster, and they had to move on because that never worked out with George here. But just to have him come back and be a part of 86 was really cool.
Happy birthday, Mazo. I know he listens to the show, so I want to send him our best wishes.
And that's somebody, Michael, that no matter when you think of him, he'll never be 66.
No, he doesn't even look it now. I mean, he looks like he's in his 40s, and he'll tell you how good-looking he is. Right, Maz? All right, so DCR, we know what that is. It's DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. That's you have to listen every Monday through Friday from 5 to 8. It's a great show. Great show. But it got very awkward today. Peter, you haven't heard anything about this, right?
No. It more awkward than the Carlin call yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Carlin wasn't awkward. It was mean-spirited.
No.
I felt awkward hearing it.
Okay.
But, yeah, everyone felt awkward because I got mad. So that's what kind of made it awkward. But, yes, okay.
The great Diana Rossini was on as a guest.
All right.
Her father's a big listener to the show, our show. But I'm sure he listened, you know, with Diana on DCR. Well, here's Dave, because Diana recently has gotten married. Here's Dave congratulating Diana Rossini.
Diana Rossini. Diana, I have been lurking, not strangely, but lurking on social media, and I noticed that you got married over the pandemic, so congratulations to you.
Lurking?
That's not the word you...
Wait, was that the whole clip?
No, here comes more. Oh. You ready? No?
Yeah.
Diana, did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials?
So,
that was awkward.
Wait, is that the whole?
And Rick DiPietro, we didn't play that part. Said, I'm sorry, I think that was really creepy that you said you're lurking on social media. Dave has the subtlety of a ball peen hammered through like a plate glass window.
Was that the whole thing?
Yeah, that was it.
Don, this is becoming a really dangerous theme. You know what I'm talking about, Don?
What, that this was not much?
Correct. He's been doing this a lot recently. He gets my hopes up for something really meaty, and then it's like a scrap. There's...
Well, I'm sorry if that wasn't meaty enough for you.
What did she say after she said so?
Well, I'm sorry. This is what Anthony gave me, okay?
Now,
I heard it was very,
was
very awkward long-term thing. We can't play the whole thing. It's not DCR. It's the Michael K. Show.
The only thing worse would have been if he said, I was trolling Twitter the other day and noticed that you happened to get married.
Diana, I have been lurking.
That's very creepy.
It's creepy, and it's also revealing. This is someone that looks at pictures of Diana Rossini differently than most people glance at pictures on Twitter. I shouldn't say that because I think a lot of people glance at Twitter the same way that Dave did. But you know what I mean?
It was a poor word choice by Dave.
No, I think it was a revealing choice because I think
he's a creep.
He was creeping on Diana.
Yeah, I mean, it is who he is. At least he's not a phony. He's a creeper.
This is tough. I didn't wrong word choice. I don't think he's that. I don't think he was doing that.
You know what? People get fired for the wrong word choice.
You think lurk is enough?
Rick just texted me, said that Diana went on to compare Dave to the creeps that comment on her on Instagram.
That would have been a nice drop to put in this thing.
Yeah, I can't be blamed for that. But no, it's not what you want.
No, it's creepy.
Avoid the word lurk whenever you can. In what context does one want to describe themselves as lurking?
I don't think there's any sentence that you could use where lurk is a positive.
No. Death is lurking around the corner. I don't think that you ever, that was very awkward.
That's who he is. I can't believe that Sherry's with him. I can. She's such an elegant, classy, beautiful lady. I don't get it. I mean, Don doesn't get my marriage. I don't get Dave's.
I'm starting to lean towards you, Michael.
Wow.
No, I've always said that he treats his family like cardboard cutouts. I mean, he ditched her when the Giants lost the Super Bowl. He smashed the DVD of their wedding, threw their wedding pictures in the driveway after a Giant loss.
See, that's a problem.
He threw a treadmill through a window because the Giants lost. And still she stays with him. That's why Don put some of the blame on her.
Right. She enables the situation. Because maybe if she left, maybe if she spent a weekend at a hotel somewhere, he would realize what it feels like when he puts the Giants ahead of his family.
Now, you know what? As much as I believe that he loves Sherry, he puts the Giants over the kids and Sherry.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
I think he would come on the air and admit that.
Unbelievable.
I just wonder, like, when the Giants won, you guys were around when the Giants won. You were around Dave. What does he do? Because we know how extreme he is about the tough losses. What does he do to soak up the glory of the win?
You know what? When did he start, Michael?
Yeah, he might not have been here the last time the Giants won.
In 11? He wasn't here?
I'm trying to remember.
Well, let's think about it and shower off because we have to come back. We've got some Yankee news as well.
You're kidding.
Yeah, we got a week to opening day. We got some Yankee news.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The trade deadline is over in the NBA, and the Knicks didn't really do anything. The big question is, did they miss the boat not making a trade? Now, I was all for them making a big deal, but I didn't want them to empty the cupboard and give up any assets that would hurt. And they didn't. And I don't have a problem with it. Because no matter what the Knicks did right now, the biggest trade you could possibly think of, so dream your dream right now and say they got a great player. They're still not winning a championship. They're probably not winning in the first round. So what you continue to do is build with what you have. And I think that this team has shown it plays hard against good teams. It blows out bad teams like it did against Washington. And it can be a 500 team without any moves whatsoever.
The Michael K. Show.
I got to get the kids on skates. This is ridiculous. Jagger was skating by two.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Rick DiPietro helps out the show a lot. So he just texted me the level of Dave's depravity when it comes to the Giants. Dave has a video of himself completely naked, holding his baby son in front of the TV singing We Are the Champions when the Giants won the Super Bowl. Now, on DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, you could see them or hear them Mondays through Fridays from 5 to 8 in the morning. They have a bet that if James Harden wins the MVP, he has to release the video. I don't know if I've ever rooted for a player to win an MVP more.
How could you release the video? I mean, it's not even...
Well, release the video to Rick and Chris, I guess.
Isn't it disturbing that I don't think Chris, who was on the last Super Bowl team, cares as much as Dave does?
Diana, I have been lurking.
I mean, and listen, I'm a huge Giant fan. And
well,
I
you
think
shed a tear after they won. You didn't strip down naked in Phoenix.
No, and it didn't even cross my mind, Michael.
No, you would have gotten arrested.
But I didn't sit there and go, geez, I wish I was alone at home so I can strip down naked. I was alone and at home in 2011 when they won the second one with Eli.
But it does go to prove what I've always said, Don. Happiness over your sports team, you take your clothes off. He did. And by the way, Rick told me the bet is he has to release it on social media.
No, you can't do that.
Well, you could blur out naughty bits.
Why would he hold his child? Why did he get naked and then hold his child?
Because he's a freak.
Are we sure that part's true?
Well, Rick doesn't lie to me.
We'll find out because Harden can win the MVP.
Yeah. I don't think he should, but now I'm rooting.
But you don't think he should, but it doesn't mean he won't.
No, he could.
What if you take the way he's played so far and then he goes on one of those Harden streaks where he scores like 45 a night for a week straight?
Oh, I can see it happening.
It's all possible, guys. We could be looking at a very nude Dave Rothenberg.
I don't know if I want to see it.
I definitely don't want to see it.
Wait, hold on. Why might
you
want to
see it? Because I mean, back then, I mean, not that he's, you know, Fabio now, but you know, he was a chunk monster. I mean, do you really want to see a fat guy holding a baby?
Hold on.
I don't want to see Brad Pitt naked holding a baby.
He said he didn't want the baby to miss the moment, Rick said.
I'm so confused.
Wait, he doesn't want him to miss the moment, but then make it one of the most traumatic things in the history of his life if this thing gets released.
It's a great point. All right, today was a deadline day for Jay Bruce and the Yankees. And what I mean by that, March 25th in the deal that he signed with the Yankees, they had to tell him whether he made the team or not, or he had to tell them whether he was exercising the out. So what happens is the Yankees weren't too clear on it today, but it sounds like he exercised the out, which he has the right to do on the 25th. Now the Yankees have 48 hours to either put him on the roster, try to trade him, or just release him. I don't even know if they could trade him. They have the right to put him on the roster, he makes the team, or they have to release him and let him find a job somewhere else. From everything I'm hearing, the Yankees have a very, very, very high opinion of Mike Tauchman. Now, if you look at the last 6 weeks before he got hurt in 2019, Mike Tauchman played as well as anybody in the American League. Then he hurt his calf, he missed the playoffs. Last year, he was terrible. It was like he was a different player than he was in 2019. And it was revealed at the beginning of this spring training that he had a bad shoulder all year and didn't say anything. Well, Tauchman's had a decent spring, 7 for 26, 3 home runs, 4 ribbies. And Jay Bruce had a couple of hits at the beginning. Then I think he went into a 1 for 22 slide. So Tauchman is younger. The Yankees have him under control. And they believe that he is the player from 2019 rather than the player from 2020. Doesn't mean they wouldn't trade him. But they would want a big return back. A controllable arm in the bullpen is probably what they would be looking for. A really good arm, too, that's ready to step in right now. They're not giving Mike Tauchman away. So for the Yankee fans to know one thing, Mike Tauchman will not be released. The Yankees are not losing a player like Mike Tauchman, who they like, and a lot of people in baseball like, for nothing. They're not doing that. So they're either going to trade him for a nice return or Jay Bruce is going to get released. And my guess is, because Tauchman can play center field at a high level, I think they keep Tauchman and they release Jay Bruce. Because I don't think they're going to get enough of a return for Tauchman that they would trade him. And the Yankee front office and the analytics guys, they love Talkman. They stole him from the Rockies. They did, right before the opener in 2019. I remember I was at the welcome home dinner when John and I introduced the team. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I had to talk to Gene Atherman, the Yankees assistant GM, and go, how do you pronounce his name? And everybody was asking, and we came, oh, it's Talkman. That's how new he was. And the Yankees like him. And he is a very good defender. He's a plus defender at any position. Now, let's say they got rid of Talkman. Well, Jay Bruce could play the corner outfield, and he could also play first. And Brett Gardner, obviously in a pinch, could play center field. He'd be fine. Derek Dietrich's also in that maneuvering as well. What do they do with Derek Dietrich, a guy who could play infield positions and outfield? So they've got some decisions to make. Are they going to carry Tyler Wade, who had a tough spring offensively, but the last couple of games he has four hits? And he could play shortstop, and the Yankees don't have anybody who could really step in for Gleyber Torres and play great shortstop. They could move Urshela over short. He'll field anything hit at him. But is he a plus defender? No. Tyler Wade is. And he could play second. He could play third. He could play the outfield. So those are the decisions they have to make. But today, they moved a little bit because, obviously, Jay Bruce told them he wanted a decision, which was his contractual right. And then Aaron Boone said he's got workouts planned for the next 2 days. But Aaron said, listen, you don't have to be around the team because he's technically in this nebulous state. So you can go work out on your own. And then, you know, if we decide to keep you, you can come on back. So he's not going to be appearing in any spring training games. So that's where we are right now. I would say yesterday, the game that we did, Davey Garcia, who I think was not going to get the fifth spot over Herman, I think he kind of made that certain because he struggled. Pitches were up in the zone, didn't have great command. And Domingo Herman has been practically perfect in spring training. So the Yankees starting rotation is set, and it looks like it's going to be Cole, Kluber, Tyone, Montgomery, and Herman. Then you have Davey Garcia waiting at the alternate site. Nick Nelson, who will probably make the team out of the bullpen, he could also start. Clark Schmidt, who's been injured, he's going to start throwing again. He'll be a possibility to be moved in as well. They're going to need all of these pitchers as we move forward. But, you know, I look at the Yankees, Don, I see what they've built. And, you know, everybody wants to always concentrate, well, these things could go wrong. And the things that could go wrong for the Yankees are Kluber might get hurt. Tyone might get hurt. They've essentially pitched one inning over the last 2 years. That's it. So they might get hurt. They have an injury history. But then all if they don't get hurt, they could be high-end starters, which is what they've shown in spring training. And Gary Sanchez could struggle at the plate again. But Gary Sanchez struggling at the plate again doesn't concern me because the Yankees have enough offense, even if Gary Sanchez hits 147 again. I look at this team. I look at the rest of the American League. I love the White Sox team. They got a big blow today, though. Eloy Jimenez, who's a really good player and a really good hitter, tore his pectoral muscle, and he's out for 5 to 6 months. So he's essentially out for the season. And that's a big blow to the White Sox. I think the Astros pitching is pretty decent. I think the A's are going to be better than people think they're going to be. I think the Indians are going to be better than people think they're going to be. I think the Twins are good again. But I think the Yankees are far and away the best team in the American League, and they should be playing in the World Series if all goes according to plan.
Right, and it never seems to, right?
Right.
But, you know, first things first, win your division. They should be able to do that, honestly. Rays lost too much. Blue Jays, I just don't see them having the pitching. And already they've got injuries. Is Springer going to be ready on opening day? I don't know what the injury was to Biggio. He missed yesterday because of the
pinky.
They
say he's going to be fine. Pinky.
I can't imagine a pinky, and Paul O'Neill accentuated that during a broadcast yesterday, is going to keep you out for any length of time. But, you know, still, we'll find out early, right, because six of the first 12 games for the Yankees are against the Blue Jays.
Yep.
So you'll find out what you got right away, and the Blue Jays were a real thorn in the Yankee side last year. So we'll see. But you're right. I think – the Jimenez injury hurts the White Sox. Twins never beat the Yankees on a bet. A's never beat the Yankees on a bet. Yeah, everything is pointing to this team, you know, getting to the World Series. But this is one of several times since 2009 we've said that, and something always happens. So they got to stay healthy, and what team are we not thinking about, or what team are we thinking about that ends up being much better than we thought ends up being a problem? Because I don't think anybody thought the Rays would be the problem that they were last year.
You know who I think is going to be a problem? And we keep dismissing them? The Rays. Because, they lost important players. Charlie Morton, they traded Snell. But they're so smart. and they brought in other arms like Waka and Archer. They can do it. They're a very good offensive team. Remember, they're going to have why is his name slipping? The kid that tore up the postseason last year. He's still a rookie. Randy Arozarena. They have him for the whole year. So that's a good team, and they might at some point call up Wander Franco, who's the number one prospect in all of baseball. That team is going to be a challenge. I think the Yankees are better, but that team is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, but I think the Yankees are better. But, you know, if they do it again with smoke and mirrors and beat you, Michael, then what are you spending all this money for? You know, at what point do you just say, what are the Rays doing here with a third of the payroll of most teams and still find their way in contention every year? Keep losing free agents, keep losing great players and producing great players on low income and resurrecting careers. I mean, when was the last time Archer pitched?
He was hurt last year with the Pirates, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be something if they did it, but still. But I feel like it's deja vu. We have this conversation every year. You change the teams around. Sometimes it's the Blue Jays. Sometimes it's the Red Sox. Now it's the Rays, of teams that can really be a pain to them. Central always seems to produce some team. One year it's the Twins. Then it's the White Sox. Then it's the Indians. Or who's going to come out of the West? And yet the Yankees, to me, are still the team to beat. And then you get to the playoffs, and it's like everything is just thrown up in the air. And wherever it lands, it lands. And really, tell me it's not a crapshoot.
Oh, it is.
You know, you can say, well, look at the Dodgers last year. Okay, let's look at the Dodgers last year. You know how long they've been good? For the last decade. And yet the Giants beat them out three times for a World Series, right? They were winning the division, what, eight consecutive times? So how many times were they knocking on the door when they finally were able to kick it down?
Who, the Dodgers?
Yeah.
7 years.
I mean, that's a long time with a high payroll. And even before those 7 years of consecutively winning the division, it wasn't like they were awful. And
they
yet every year something would
year.
Happen to them where they would get knocked out in the playoffs. Last year, they were able to survive it. Now, they did go to the World Series a few more times than the Yankees have, but the point is that somebody always beat them. Red Sox, Astros, somebody beat them in the postseason before you even got to the World Series, because it does become a crapshoot of there's a way to win over 162 games, and then there's another way to win in the playoffs. And I think this is where the analytics kick in, Michael, because I'm not sure the analytics work in the playoffs the way they do in the regular season.
Well, analytics become relevant over a long period of time that you can analyze them, but they're not as relevant and not as certain in a seven-game series. Now, if a guy is a great hitter, he's a great hitter over 162 games, but doesn't mean he's going to be great in a seven-game stretch, and that's what happens in the postseason. They still believe in the analytics, but sometimes the analytics get away from them in a short series because it's too short of a sample size.
And I saw the Red Sox win a title. They're an analytically driven team, and yet they would make adjustments to go with who's hot and have righties face righties, and because they felt that this is what happens within the series. It's different than the regular season. The Rays didn't do that. The Rays stuck to their guns, and I think it burned them. I think the Yankees got burned by it too with the game three start with the starter.
Oh, well, to this day they defend it. To this day, I don't understand what happened. I again, as I've said to people that I've argued with, if you're the best-looking guy in the room, don't try to be the smartest guy, too.
Right.
The Yankees have a $240 million payroll, and you had to get cute to come up with a third-game starter? You shouldn't have to get cute when you have that kind of payroll. You should have the best players in the world. So a game three starter should not be, let's reinvent the wheel here. You're the best-looking guy in the room. Don't try to, you know, do trigonometry in the corner. Just do it. Go flaunt your looks. Now let's talk about the Mets. The bottom of their starting rotation scares me a little bit, Don. Their bullpen scares me a little bit, too. I don't know what you're getting out of Betances. I mean, the Yankees should get some credit. They did not bring Betances back, and Betances is not even close to the player that he was when he went to four straight All-Star games. He can't throw hard anymore.
No.
It's sad. He's a great guy, and you want him to do well, but he's not the same pitcher. And Familia, I don't know. I mean, you take those two out of the equation, and you're not starting the season with Lugo. Your bullpen's a little up in the air, and although Edwin Diaz's numbers were good last year, he had some struggles. I'd say he's a pretty good closer. And I like the top three of the Met rotation. But 4 and 5, you really feel good about 4 and 5?
I mean, it could go either way, right? I mean, I don't feel great about it, but you know, maybe these guys surprise you. You know, who thought that Gesellman and Lugo would save your bacon a few years ago when those guys were forced into pitching when there were all the injuries? So right now on the surface, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, you got DeGrom, Stroman. I'm comfortable with those two, especially DeGrom. Try to tread water until you get Syndergaard back.
And Carrasco.
And Carrasco.
And then hope Syndergaard.
Right. And I think he will be. I mean, he's already throwing so hard just fastball, so I think he's going to be okay. But I said the top three. I mean, they're missing Carrasco, so it's the bottom three are big question marks. I mean, Peterson, Lucchese, Yamamoto.
Yeah. I mean, Lucchese had a good spring.
Yeah, okay. We'll see, though.
Well, it's going to be an interesting question for them the first 2 months of the season, because after that they could get Carrasco and Syndergaard back in pretty short order.
Right, and then have one of the best rotations.
Exactly. They could instantly go from it being a weak spot to a strength in the course of a couple of weeks.
But you can bury yourself in 2 months.
But yeah. They might have to swing their way through these first couple of months, and they should be better offensively.
It looks like Alonso is the player that he was 2 years ago, not last year. He's had a great spring. Lindor had 4 home runs the last 5 games.
Right,
and he's
Lindor. I'm still worried about their defense. I'm sorry, I am. Third base, I think, is going to be a question mark all year. Second base, we'll see. I think he's better at second than he is at third. Alonso's not a great first baseman. He works really hard at it. He's not. Dominic Smith is better. Now you're going to put Dominic Smith in left field. He's not a good left fielder. Brandon Nimmo's in center. He should be in left. So he's not a good center fielder. Although they've got people that they could throw in there in late innings for defense. Yes. But you could lose a game in the fifth inning as well. Conforto I like out in right field, and they certainly upgraded at catcher as well.
But you could put Smith at first base late innings. You'll improve there.
But do you want to put Smith in first base, Don, in a close game and taking a bat away from Alonso?
Well, see, but obviously
that's where you have to gamble, though.
You know, listen, it's got to be a situation where Alonso makes the last out of the previous inning, and you kind of know, all right, I can get through 2 innings with better defense. You got to be smart about it. Kind of like pinch running for somebody, making sure that, you know, that doesn't come back to haunt you. I could put Pillar in center field. I think he's an outstanding defensive
center
fielder.
And Almora, yep.
You know, so you do have options late in games, close games, where you can be better defensively. I understand. I don't want to take Pete Alonso out. They tie the game, and now I play 4 extra innings, and I don't have my best hitter. They used to drive me crazy with Piazza. They pinch run for him, and then they wouldn't score in that inning, and now the game gets tied, and now your best hitter isn't there. But I think that there are times where you're trying to protect the lead where that defense 7 through 9 will be better than it is 1 through 6. Because there are good defenders there that can go in there and be defensive replacements.
We want to hear from all of you. Baseball's a week away. 1-800-919-3776. But you know what this is. You know what time it is.
Oh, sure you do.
That music tells you it's time for Drop Madness.
Well, that was in a word.
Hurtful.
Drop Madness on the K-Show is brought to you by Wendy's, where quality's our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. K Region.
Let's hear it.
2 seed.
But I'm a bad teammate. Both of you take a walk. We'll be back. Love that drop. No music out. You got to really listen to the end.
Up against the 7 seed.
Please stay safe, everybody. Stay indoors. Be very wash handy.
Wow, that's a tough one.
I got to tell you, it could be. We had 150-149, right, Tom? But this could be the next closest one. That
because
we've seen
Wash
thus far.
Handy was just so out of nowhere, so funny, so poignant.
In the Peter region, the 2 seed, Tom Thibaut Diaw, up against the 7 seed.
According to Adam Schefter, Schefter, that is.
Schefter?
Don region, the 10 seed, a classic.
Who are you taking out?
Up against a dangerous 15 seed.
God, I had a soft salami over at Cats to die for.
You know, I'm rooting against soft salami after what it did to the 2 seed. I mean, to the 2 seed. It wasn't right. I'm upset that Tay Diggs isn't with us, so I'm pulling for who you're taking out. But soft salami's very strong. We go to the nether region.
And there you have a drop for next year.
We go to the nether region where the strong 2 seed Griffin lives.
Let your wings fly. Let you fly.
up against our friend Harry at the 10 spot.
Because Michael gets on me, thinks I'm too old to shovel.
You are.
TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Go vote right now. Drop Madness brought to you by Wendy's.
There you go. Tournament's been great so far. Fans are into it. A lot of betting. It's great. 1-800-919-3776. What do you think's happening with the Yankees and the Mets? A week to opening day. Can you believe it? A week from today, I'll be at Yankee Stadium for the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Take the ice apart and break the frozen
ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Ice picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. My 5-game winning streak went by the boards because I went with the Lightning covering the goal and a half against Dallas. I got the same opportunity tonight at plus 165. The Lightning covering the goal and a half in Dallas against the Stars. I'm climbing back on the horse again. I'm riding the Lightning, as Metallica would say. Go Lightning covering the goal and a half at plus 165. That's Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, boosted odds specials with the king of sportsbooks. Get the app today. Do it.
Peter, there's a little something I learned a long time ago.
What's that?
If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And Don just made the same pick that lost the other day.
Yeah.
He didn't learn from history. He's dooming himself to repeat it.
Well, that's not how betting works, though.
Oh, really? Why don't you tell me how betting works?
Well, you have two opposing teams. Each one has different odds to win their match. You choose one team, and the odds pay you accordingly to what the odds are and what your bet is.
You know who else's birthday it is today other than Lee Mazzilli? Peyton Manning.
Ah, Peyton.
45 years old.
He's only 45.
He looks older?
No, it's just like he's been around. It feels like he's been gone for a while. It felt like he was a grizzled vet when he left. His athletes are so young.
We lost Jessica Walter today.
I saw.
Jessica Lucille Walter. Bluth.
Yeah. 80 years old at natural causes, which is, I guess, the way everybody would want to go. But, yeah, she did a tremendous job as the mom in Arrested Development.
I can't buy that. Natural causes does not kill you at 80. It had to be something else.
Really?
The body lasts longer than 80 years.
This is one of those moments, Don, when Michael's just fighting with God.
Well, yeah. There had to be something wrong. You can't say natural causes. People don't just die at 80. Yeah, the body's worn out.
That's what my mean Hebrew school teacher said to me when I was in fifth grade and my grandfather died at 82.
Mm-hmm.
That literally the same thing. She was like, he didn't just die. And I was like, well, I mean, he lived a hard life. He was in slave camps in Russia and ran all over the world. And he was 82. His heart gave out.
Let's go to Bill in Albany. Bill.
A little dark, sorry.
Yeah.
Hello, Bill.
Hey. Oh, man, that's a great intro.
Sorry, let me freshen things up. Oh, Bear, you're adorable. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, and you know, Peter, as an aside, one of our Pomeranian puppies is named Bear. Not after your dog, but he's named Bear.
It's a terrific dog name. But go ahead.
Hey, I was calling because I had really been looking forward to you guys doing a few innings yesterday, and I got to tell you, you guys blew the doors off. You guys did a great job. And again, you've never, you know, you haven't broadcast as a group a game together. You're working remotely. I'm telling you, I think that broadcast was excellent, guys.
Well, thank
and
you.
Don, you are a play-by-play guy. I've never had the pleasure of listening to your hockey calls. But I tell you what, you just step in and do baseball. You killed it. And Michael was the ringleader. I mean, you know, he managed the boys. I would say just one thing, though, because you're new working together on a game and it's remote. There was a little bit of steppage.
A little bit.
You know, stepping up. Little
well, I
bit.
Mean, that, funniest, I mean, there was the thing that people don't understand, and we thank you for that.
No, I wanted to hear the funniest part he was about to say.
No, I didn't have it in me. It's there's delay.
Yeah.
There just is. I mean, it would have been perfect if we were sitting in the same room. I thought Bob Raisman gave us rave reviews. It wasn't a disaster. Bob Raisman, New York Daily News.
Bob!
Yeah, I don't think people realize what a delay does. And Michael and I, because we've been working together for so long, you can kind of figure it out a little bit when it's just two people. But you add a third person, and I think the delay was unusually long at times.
Well, mine was definitely like, how long was your... Well, you guys don't know. I could hear my delay because I heard myself. And it was like a full two and a half seconds.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's why afterwards I was saying I don't want to make excuses, but I couldn't. It's like this. You don't want to make excuses in a basketball game, but the ball was deflated. You are going to point out that the ball was absolutely deflated. It 2.5 seconds is very hard to know when to jump in, even though I thought Michael was very, both you guys, super generous with the pauses, but by the time the pause got to me, in your ear, you'd already paused for 5 seconds.
And also, Michael made it work because noticing your long delay, he would address you and say, Peter, so you knew that you were up.
Right, and it got better.
Very professional.
It got better as we went on there, but I appreciate all the comments, and I did think it was, I heard from a lot of people who had a lot more fun during a spring training game than they normally would, which is what Don and I initially thought we could do.
And you guys did it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.